Alex Lester on BBC Essex.
Bank holiday road trip, that's what we're doing. Now, I've been on the studio by David Laws, and he's brought a book in with him, which he's written, which is great, actually. It's about an out-of-favour journalist tracking down a ring of spies bent on sabotaging Brexit. Right, OK. Just when you thought, not more Brexit. This is really, you've stolen march on everyone with it. David, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
So how far back, when did you start writing this the moment the UK voted leave?
I started writing as soon as the referendum thing started, and I imagined what would happen and started writing then. And it's amazing how many of my fictional constructs have come to pass.
Is this rather worrying?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fascinating, actually, because after all, it's something which has divided the nation, without a doubt. Yeah. And so when you sat down to write this, where did you go? Because after all, I suppose when you're thinking about it, you could alienate half your readership.
Well, no, I've been very careful to sit on the fence politically. This is a mystery thriller, and it's not a political book in the sense that it starts talking about the issues. So somebody who's a Remainer or somebody who's a Leaver is equally happy with this book because it's a mystery thriller. Now, just use Brexit as a dramatic backdrop.
Well, you've got to be the first in this field, I'd have thought, David. You're not aware of anybody else who's actually publishing anything which actually is along.
No, I'm not, no.
No, good. Good for you, which is absolutely excellent. Now, the thing is, it's always very difficult to talk about a book which is a mystery, because otherwise, you know, I do hear, and this is terrible, that people sometimes go and see The Mousetrap in London, and when the lights go, so about 5 minutes in, someone shouts, "The butler did it," and runs away. So therefore, it's no longer a whodunit. So I think you have to be careful with this, don't you? So how much can you tell me about the plot?
I can tell you the setup. And basically, although I've used Brexit as a background, it's really a spy hunt. A guy comes home one day and finds he's been burgled, and he's sitting on the kitchen floor, very despondent, looking at the detritus of his life spread all around the kitchen floor, wondering where he's going to start the clean-up, when there's a knock at the door. And it's his old flame. It's his ex-girlfriend he hasn't seen for ages. And she brings him a toxic gift. It's a list of secret foreign agents who've been programmed to sabotage the Brexit process. And he's a local journalist, and he thinks, wow, what a story to drop into my lap. I'll go down the road of finding out who the devil these people are. I'll confront them. I'll out them in the best journalistic tradition. But he's a bit miffed to discover the very first name on the list is his best friend. And then there's a cabinet minister who's been leaking cabinet secrets to Brussels during the negotiations. And later, much later, that there's a female assassin stalking the footsteps of the British Prime Minister. So that's my story.
That's the story. Have you written things, you know, mysteries before? Because you see, you obviously have a mind which is completely different. I couldn't make up a story to save my life. To try and actually one which is actually mysteries, a good mystery like this, is it's complicated, and do you have to storyboard it?
Absolutely. You have to dovetail all the various elements so that you don't get them out of order, so that they all work. So obviously there's a lot of, as you say, storyboarding or organising to make sure that things happen in the right order.
Because, you can see a sort of mystery. It's like Line of Duty on television. Everyone's going, they're all on social media going, I think it's so-and-so, it's Hastings. You know, I just wonder whether it's the same thing. People read your books and when they go, right, and they'll phone you up and go, yeah, David, I think it was so-and-so. And you go, like, they're only four chapters in. Do you get that?
I don't actually get that, no. I get a lot of feedback from people because I do book signings in bookshops locally. And I get a lot of very interesting feedback from people with anecdotes. As one of the other books that I've written is about Munich and the time when Chamberlain went off to see Hitler in 1938. And it's amazing how many people have got anecdotes directly relating to that, what their father said at the time. and father was actually there at the time. So this is really interesting to me. So I pick up a lot of interesting anecdotes along the way.
Well, I suppose that's rather good, because in fact, in 30 or 40 or 50 years' time, we can look back at this book and go, oh, right. And so it's maybe been regarded as a historical record, right? Yeah. Because again, isn't it the fact with Munich, and certainly with that whole thing of Chamberlain coming back with a piece of paper, etc. History has proven it's actually not quite how it appeared, is it?
That's right.
And I mean, so therefore, you know, it's like the history that it's, we dismiss Chamberlain as a complete disaster, etc. So, but there was more to it than that.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole Chamberlain thing is fascinating. I mean, the normal way of looking at it is that he was a nice old chap who did his best, and he actually bought us lots of time to rearm and get ready for the war. Actually, in my novel, I completely disagree with that and rearrange the facts to a different interpretation. And that hopefully comes, the discussion of that actually comes through during the course of the novel.
Now, working as we are, it's now 2019, etc., and social media is everywhere. Are you finding that your book, people go, the conspiracy theorists are out and go, well, David, I think so-and-so. You know, I think such, you know, like the old tinfoil hat merchants going, oh, well, I knew this all along, you see, because a friend of mine in the deep state says so-and-so. You finding that?
Well, yeah, there's loads of conspiracy theorists, particularly, perhaps I shouldn't say this, but I noticed that particularly in Ipswich, when I was doing a book signing there, so many people come up to me and tell me sort of their strange ideas about what's going on. And, you know, it's fascinating. But I like to think that actually in this book, I've got the conspiracy that nobody else will have thought of.
As a journalist, you actually have a long history as a journalist, so therefore you're able to do it from inside information, because we were chatting while the record was playing about how things are depicted. Say, journalism is depicted on television, or in my case, radio is depicted on the television or in film. You go, it's nothing like that at all! So presumably the journalism side of it is fairly accurate in the
I
book.
I certainly hope so.
I was going to say, what will people say? Because, again, the trouble is, I suppose, people think that it's not all exciting all the time. So you've actually had to be selective, haven't you? Otherwise,
absolutely.
You know, I sat at my computer for 4 days trying to find something. I was just doing something about the local cat's home. And, you know, it's not all glamour, is it?
It isn't all glamour. A lot of it is very hard work, in fact.
But, you know, what was your career like then? Because you must have started... Were you rather like the late Derek Jameson, one of the last of the hot metal men?
Well, yes, it's certainly a hot metal man, definitely. I mean, I started when I was 16, and I went through various local newspapers. I actually started on the telephone exchange, would you believe, actually answering calls.
How fantastic.
And I had one of those old-fashioned plug-in switchboards. And, of course, you push the little lever forward and said, hello, City Press, can I help you? And they said, yeah, I want to go to Mr. Smith, please. So you press another button and the call would go through to Mr. Smith. But because I was a nosy little 16-year-old, I wouldn't pull the button back and I'd listen in. But after a while, of course, they got wise to this, and I got a loud shout saying, David, push that button back.
Oh, wow. So you're actually... how did you make that leap then from being the telegraph operator, if you like, the switchboard operator, to actually being a reporter?
By being a damn nuisance, to be honest, and keep saying, look, I want to do reporting, I want to do reporting. And I did do a bit of reporting. It was on a little paper called the City Press, which is right near the Bank Station. But eventually a friend of mine said, well, why don't you get on the real local paper in Ruislip? And it's a great picture paper. So I approached them and I got on, and it was just a wonderful time to be a district reporter. I'd always wanted to be that. When I was a 16-year-old kid, I read this book called The Monday Story by James Leesaw. And if anybody ever wants to read it, it's a great story about a district reporter. And I decided that's what I want to do. That's it. That's me. And so when I got to Ruislip, and I then went to various other places as well, I had a great old time. And it was much later when I got on national newspapers. And, of course, got even greater then. It was even more fun.
But
it's a lot of hard work, obviously.
Yeah, I can still remember someone saying that, you know, a journalist friend of theirs who worked for, I think, the News of the World, had said, Oh, I'm exhausted. Well, what have you been doing? I've been hiding in Terry Scott's hedge all night. Because there was some scandal going on. So that poor old Terry Scott was being doorstepped by all the journalists and things like that. So you brought this. When was the point when you went, you know what, I've been, you know, my shoe leather is worn out from doing all this reporting. I'm going to turn to novels. And you worked on something like that. This is your latest exit day. When would you decide?
I've always sort of cherished the idea that I would actually write a novel one day. And so I had a few bashes at it. And then when I sort of went from full-time working to one day a week, which is what I do now, I decided to have a proper go at it. So, and journalism obviously is a good crossover, but there's a lot of things that help you, but a lot of things that you've got to unlearn as well.
Right. Because one of the things about journalism is speed. But I bet you didn't write the book overnight, did you?
How long did it take you to do that?
That must have been quite interesting, actually, to try and do that.
It's quite a long time. I would say 2 years to actually write it. Of course, you can do a quick first draft, but it's usually pretty awful. And the key, of course, and I'm misquoting somebody else, another author said, I'm not a very good writer, but I'm a very good rewriter. And, of course, this is where journalism comes in. It teaches you how to analyse what you've done, pull it to pieces, start again, and rewrite it until it's in a proper shape.
So you're just totally fed up with the sight of Exit Day now.
By the time you finish the third or fourth rewrite, I'm totally sick of it.
What are you working on now?
I'm working on a new novel, which I'm just putting the final touches to, and it's an escape story. It's an escape by a number of fugitive feral children who've lost their parents to concentration camps in Germany and who are hiding out in this city wilderness. And they're discovered by a teacher who decides completely against the law. She's going to go to a concentration camp herself if she's found out. I'm going to get them away. I'm going to arrange the escape of these children to freedom.
Oh, brilliant. We look forward to it. When's that going to be out?
I'm not sure yet.
Don't make it 2 years. None of us are getting any younger. David, it's been great talking to you. One thing I must say, actually, about Exit Day, will the reprint change the date? Because it said, when Britain, 31st of March 2019.
No, I won't change the date because I'm sure they're going to kick the present date down the road just like an old tin can. So who knows whether there will be an exit day or what day it will be.
David Laws thing. I just like the idea they go, they're down at the printers and go, pulp the David Laws novels. They've changed the date again. Exit Day, Brexit and Assassins Talks to Prime Minister David Laws is out. It's at Matador and it's out now.
It is.
Excellent, David. Thank you so much for being a good guest on the programme this afternoon. It's been a pleasure.
Alex Lester on BBC Essex.